our statement of faith. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It is the word of truth.
It is the word of truth.
I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I
can.
I'm a believer
and not a doubter.
I'm a
doer and not just a hearer.
I am humble before the Lord.
I am obedient to the Lord.
I am mature in the Lord.
I'm enthusiastic about the Lord.
I know that
faith comes by hearing
and hearing by
the word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray.
Dear God, I just thank you and I adore you today, Lord God, for allowing us to come together, Lord God, and sup on your word today, Lord God.
Father God, fill us up, Lord God, till we want no more, Lord God, and fill us up till we can have the overflow.
The overflow is to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Everywhere we go, Lord God, God's people's lives are changed forevermore.
Lord, I thank you for an opportunity to be your servant, God.
Thank you for an opportunity to be a servant.
Thank you, Lord God, for allowing me to be a daughter, Lord God.
Lord, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, Lord God.
Thank you for this house, Lord God, that's built on a solid rock, Lord God.
Thank you for Pastor, thank you for our leadership, and thank you for the body of Christ that resides at Striving for Perfection Ministries.
In the mighty name of Jesus we pray, amen, amen, amen.
Our scripture comes from James 1, 22 through 25,
and we just bless the Lord today in his word.
The word says, but be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does.
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Family, family, family.
Today we're going to talk, and we're going to talk. Because this word that God has given us, it will ultimately benefit the body of Christ. It will ultimately bring that person that we are calling their name each day to come into the body of Christ. It will bring those that are unsaved into the kingdom. It will heal the sick. It will deliver those who have gotten some type of wrapped up in something kind of thing that can't let them go. It has them. Anything that's got them going to and fro. Ultimately, this word will set all that free.
Amen.
But first, we got to do some stuff up in here. Okay? We have got to do some things up in here, the body of Christ. Because, we are repeating things that we have heard, that we've been taught, that we've been provided the word of God to be free in, and we are not activating on it.
Amen.
Think about that. We are so exposed to the beautiful word of God. We got tablets, we got Bibles, we got audio, we got visual, we got different versions. We have all of this word that's so available to us. And we now, in this sermon and this word today, we have to be intentional hearers. We have to be intentional hearers of God's word. And the subtitle there is, do you hear me now?
Yeah.
Because in the book of James, he is once again telling it like it is and bringing us together and trying to give us instructions on how the body of Christ should be acting with these times.
Yeah.
He was speaking to the 12 tribes that had been scattered, had been pulled apart, had been hurt, had been martyred, had been sold, had been interrupted, torn away from their families, torn away where they were the only two or three around in the situations that they were living in. Sounds familiar? There are some that were hiding because there was bounties on their head. And they were told if they stand up for God, speak his word, something could happen to them. Sound familiar? There are people that children are in bondage right now. The children of God are in bondage right now. Because if they speak the word, they could lose their job. If they put on social media a scripture, they might have retaliation the next day. I live in an HOA, and if I put a Jesus sign out or Happy Easter, I have to put the Easter bunny out because we all agreed that the Easter bunny is who we serve in this HOA. Sound familiar? These idols that James was trying to shake us up and say, hey, this is how Christians are supposed to live. Hey, this is what we need to do. We're repeating that this day. And it is time for us to go to the how-to guide of how to live like Christians. And people know who we are, where we are, and it's about time that we speak. Because just because I haven't been with you all week doesn't mean that we're not family. Just because the Air Force chaplain that I rededicated my life to, I haven't spoken to in 6 months, that don't mean he and his family are not my family. And it doesn't mean that we're not connected. But what is coming out of our mouths, what we are communicating with our bodies, say totally different than what we wear on those shirts that we wear out the armory. These beautiful crosses that we wear, we're not demonstrating it in our communication of this beautiful, beautiful gift that we have called faith. And James is a how-to guide of how to live. And we say in Striving for Perfection Ministries, we are teaching ministry. So we have been taught for over 20 years how to discern, to guide, to divide the word, to eat it in little small bites, or those of us that can take out a big chunk. So really, we have all this powerful spiritual energy in us, and what are we doing with it? We are repeating some of the same things that happened in the garden, because Adam and Eve, and if nothing else, Adam heard. He was listening to God, and he heard what to do. But the hearing is so much more than it going down through the tubes and all the stuff in our ear and, you know, all of that. It's more than that. It is action. It's action. Listening to God's word is what we're supposed to do. So when we're reading it, when we're hearing it, when we're singing it, when pastor's preaching it, when you and Women of Worth Bible Study, when you have Men of Distinction Bible Study, when you listening to, you doing the Bible study online with another church, and you're doing this online with the church, you are listening to the word of God. But after we listen, we have to hear. And hear means action. So let me just take you back to Amy Mary is my mother. My mother was a woman of very few words. And so when she spoke, she would say it in a way, body language-wise, that her kids knew. She was saying, "Do you hear me?" Okay? Because the next action was going to be a reaction to the fact that we were listening, but we didn't hear. And so we would try to school the cousins that would come down for the summer that you need to not only listen, but you better hear Amy Mary. Because the next time, she coming off the bench. And ain't gonna be no next time. You know, and we have this very stubborn cousin called Kathy that she's a little older than us. She was all supposed to babysit us, okay? And she was not a good babysitter because she liked liver and onions, and she would go in my grandmother's freezer and make this livers and onions and tell our parents that she cooked for us and we had to eat liver and onion. And I don't eat liver and onions, okay? But you get in trouble with the older people, with the family, if you don't eat what is cooked. You see that double? That's a standard. So I'm glad that my brothers, my bookends, John and Fred, really liked liver because they ate a whole lot for me. And I could eat the gravy and I could eat the onions and all that stuff like that and whatever. And the reason I can't drink a lot of soda now because I have to trade off. Hey, if we're going to eat your liver, you're going to have to give up that soda. Hey, no problem. But we tried to help Kathy because when we were taking places, my mother would sit and give you the rules in the car before she let you out. We go on into Aunt Gladys's house. You are to sit down where she tells you, and you are not to ask for nothing. If she offer you something, you say no ma'am. If she try to give you something, you say no ma'am. Okay? Now, Kathy was in the front seat because, you know, she's a teenager. You know, she got to sit in front. And so my brother John said, did you hear, my dear? Because Kathy, she mean that. So we went on into Aunt Gladys's house, and Aunt Gladys was always going to offer us something, and she was going to give you that church peppermint and all that other stuff. And we had to say, no, ma'am, no, thank you. No, ma'am, no, thank you. No, ma'am, no, thank you. And then she came out and she brought grapes, you know, and country kids don't get grapes, you know what I'm saying? We get plums off the tree. And so my brother Fred had a weakness and he was going to say, I said, no, you know, we can't take nothing. And he's like, oh, you're right, thank you. Kathy's like, I want some grapes, auntie, blah, blah. And she's eating those grapes. And Amy was sitting there, my mama was sitting there. I knew she was like, I'm going to get you, girl. And so when we got home, when you little, they put the latch way up to the top of the screen door. Okay? So my mama latched that one, the middle one, and then did the little kickstand thing. Okay? Where you can't come out and nobody can come in. Okay? And Kathy got a beat down. There's a flip side of this story. We got a talking to because she said, didn't you tell her what the rules are? And we're like, yes, ma'am. We told her. We warned her before she got out the car. See, that's what God wants us to do here in the real world. You want to tap Kathy on the shoulder and say, listen, did you hear? Did you hear? And then it's up to Kathy. What she do with it? But when God comes back and calls you accountable, you can say, I told her, God. I was out there doing everything I possibly can. And James said, I'm not going to fall short. I'm not going to use my brother's name to get you your attention of who I am. I'm not going to go around here and I'm not going to get all dressed up fancy. I'm just going to be James and I'm going to tell you what God has said for us and how do we conduct ourselves. So how do we conduct ourselves when we are here in 22? It says, be doers of the word, not hearers. The first thing we have to do is we have to get a position. You have to position yourself to be able to walk as a Christian in this life. And it's the same type of things that are going on in the past are going on right now. You got to position yourself. And you position yourself in truth. You position yourself that I am a child of the Most High God. Jesus came, laid down his life for my life, and on the third day he rose, and now he sits on the right hand of the Father, interceding, advocating, pleading with God to give us one more chance, or trying to explain how difficult it is down here to live this Christian life. I believe that. And because he did that, he loved us so much, he gave us a gift before we, another gift, and we weren't even worthy of that. He gave us the Holy Spirit to say, Holy Spirit, fall fresh on them today so that they can have the strength, they can have the mind, they can have the position. They can have the position to hear his word and to be doers of his word. That's your position. Your position is a position of faith. And you know, that Georgia man of mine over there from the Peach State, he has a position sometimes that Ernestine has to fall back. Okay? Because when he believes something, and I love this about him, he believes it. And I kind of think I married my mama because, you know, like, he don't say much. You know what I'm saying? But when he says something, he say it. And with all the things that have gone on in our lives of 31 years of marriage, when he speaks, I haven't always been the person that could hear. But over years of seeing his reputation, seeing his the things that he has manifested and grown and delivered in this marriage, I've learned to fall back. Okay? And I fall back on looking at his resume. And see, when you're in a position that God is the head of your life, you go back and you look at how he has saved you, what he has done from you, from the smallest to the largest, from the smallest to the largest, from the left to the right. You look at it, and then you get your position. Yeah. And then when you get your position in faith, you got to have a posture. You know, your posture can't be a little weak. You know, you can't have the little nervous foot tapping. You know what I'm saying? Or twirling your hair, all these little manifestations that I'm not quite postured in this. You have to posture yourself in humility. You have to be humble. And being humble is saying, God, I can't do this. You know Ernestine is a mess. You know I'm a mess. God, you made me. But I tell you, God, there is nothing that I could ever do that you were not with me. I can't do it at all. I couldn't be standing here today, God, if it was not for you. Amen. And then it comes back to me because, you know, his word is what we're supposed to be working with, right? Yeah. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? And then I answer myself, Lord, I don't want to know. I don't want to know how it turned out if you hadn't been on my side. I don't have a clue, but I just know that it wouldn't be as good as this. And then you posture your, you put some more posture on you, says, I look to the hills. I'm not looking at pastor. I'm not looking at the sound man. I look to the hills for which cometh my help, because all my help cometh from the Lord. Amen. Not some of it, not sometimes, not when he's available, but all my help. And then the word of God said, he's a very present help in the time of trouble. And sisters and brothers, just like Adam and Eve got scattered out the garden, just like the children of Israel went into bondage, got taken out of bondage, and roamed around over and over again, he's a very present help in the time of trouble. But he wants to hear from us. He wants us to do what he has told us to do. And Adam. Adam and them, we're speaking directly to God. Okay? Directly, God was talking to them. And didn't quite get it, okay? But God loves us so much. He sent prophet after prophet and pastor after pastor and any of those other titles that they want to call themselves these days to remind us to build yourself up on your most holy faith. Whatever is going on in today's world, build yourself up on your most holy faith. Don't try to get my faith. Oh, you don't want that, okay? It was built on some things, and I don't know if you want that. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. And that posture allows yourself to plant for the heavy lifting. Then we go in, and you got to have a practice. You got to practice how you're going to hear from God. This intentional hearing is not something you just do. Because I remember when we were younger, by the time our mother said go, we would run. And then guess what we had to do? Come back and say, now, what'd you say to go do? Because we were immature, right? But here at Striving for Perfection, we got it on the wall that says we're going to be mature in the Lord. Okay? So your maturity comes with all the steps, and it comes with us having a practice. You have to decide where you and God gonna meet at your house. You have to decide to sanctify that spot. You gotta pray before you go to bed at night and touch yourself on the head and face and necks and knees and say, Lord, get this body back up because I want to meet you in my special spot in the Lord this morning. Or, you know, you might work night shift. Meet me wherever your morning is. Don't get hung up on that. But say, I'm going to meet you, God. And then, you know, when I do better now because I'm a little bit more mature. But when I first started trying to do that, y'all, and I would get my Bible. And see, I brought y'all my old school Bible. It's got duct tape. Thank goodness for duct tape. Okay? I would have to lay my hand on the Bible and pray. Because the enemy would try to confuse me when I would read the word. It would distract me, sister. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, your mind go everywhere. So I had to pray before I could even open the Bible so I could read. Okay? You got to have a practice. Get your practice in however you need to get it in today. Okay? And then I could find my space. And then I tend to be I'm a different type of intellectual. I'm curious. So then if I see one word, what I used to do is I used to get the daily bread, and I would read the daily bread, and then whatever the scripture was, I'd go in my Bible, and I would study it, and then one word would just ring out, and I'd circle it. And if anybody ever finds one of my Bibles, I'm telling you, you could just write stories, because I write, you know, I got in here today, the pastor preached in 2012. I say, who preached that? Pastor Bolden, 2012, okay? And I've been holding on to this one since 2001. I don't bring her out often because she's been around a little bit. But you have to practice that. And then the word says you have to then take it, listen to it. You have to speak it back to God. We don't know how to talk to God on our own. He gave us a how-to guide. Just speak it back to him. You're the light in my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And then you get bold enough in your humility to say, I'm afraid. I'm scared. I said in these last few weeks, you know, I haven't told y'all a joke yet. Huh? With all of this, Carswell and I were strategizing, and so, you know, it was serious, and so I can't stay in there too long because he can stay there a long time. And I said, well, baby, this is my bottom line of what we're talking about. You're going to always be a BMW. And he said, Yeah, Ernestine. Yeah, yeah. I hear you. I hear you. Now, what does BMW mean? Black man working. I don't care what go on with these things going on. You're going to be a BMW, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. We have to talk to each other like that. Come on. Now, I ain't the only person that said that in these last few days, okay? Come on. But then we have to say the thing that is in the room that nobody else wants to say so we can give it to God. Okay? I got him for about a week. Then the black man got to be working. That's my contribution to what he was telling me. You're too young to retire. And I think you got at least another 10, 12 years in your work. I know I take good care of you. I take good care of Stacey Carswell, okay? Okay? Hey, I'm gonna come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Hey, yeah. I know you, brother. Thank you for having my back. And don't get me wrong. The other side of the story was like, yes, Ernestine, but X dollars come from you every month. Okay, so no, it ain't a one-way street. I ain't that girl, okay? He said, you still got to do what you do. And I said, well, you don't worry about me because, you know, I come from hustlers. I will get my part, okay? My dad would drive around in a truck and he would look for stuff on how to make money, the honest way. And he sat and looked at some trailer parks when they were building, they were coming in on black farmers. These folks would buy a little piece of property, put a trailer, and then kind of get you out of all the rest of your property. You know, all I want is to rent a little spot right for you, right? You know, then they would impede on us. And he said, I wonder how they get rid of their garbage. They don't have no dumpsters. Well, dumpsters weren't then. That wasn't a thing then. It was burning barrels or whatever. And before you know it, he was the sanitation man. Drove the bus in the morning, picked up the trash from the trailer parks, took it to the dump. That's what we did back in the day in Louisiana. All right. And then he went back and picked the kids up and took them home. We have to allow God to use us in the place that we're in. See, one of the other divisions that we keep going through is that we want to look like the other people, but we don't want to do the work that they had to do to get there. We talk about somebody didn't go to high school, okay? Once they taught him how to write his name, he done. He had to go pick the crops and all these other things, all right? And he was motherless. Because his mother died in childbirth with him. Okay? So stop whining and complaining about what you don't have. Because that's not faith. That is not your position. That's not your posture. And that can't be your practice. And how we do this is we possess what is ours. I tell people anytime they'll listen, when I read in Genesis that I was supposed to have dominion over everything, I could have closed the book. Now, I ain't know how to do nothing now, but you know what I'm saying? When I read that, I was like, oh, okay, we owe to something. Because I had grown up with people that knew how to take care of what they had. You see what I'm saying? Not what somebody else had, but they knew how to take care of what they had, okay? So I'm asking you to get your raggedy Bible. And I want you to possess it. It is the word of truth. It has truth in it. And truth will set you what?
Free.
How free? Real free. So we talked about position. We talked about your posture. We talked about your practice. And we talk about the gift of the word of God. No matter what kind of email you get, no matter what kind of stuff they talk about. They know they're going to take this program away. They're going to take that program away. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Never. Never is a mighty word. Never. Now I want y'all to say that like y'all mean it. Never have the righteous been forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Well, I'm gonna tell y'all something. You know, I can't just let y'all go with that. Cause now y'all know the scripture. I said it, you said it. Now let's say it like we are living that life. Come on now. From here. Posture yourself. Never have I. Uh-oh, I forgot my words. Okay. Never have the righteous. Never have the righteous been forsaken. Nor their seed begging bread. How'd that make you feel? Come on now. How'd that make you feel? Oh, yeah. I got a little power in me now. I got a little power in me now. Hallelujah. No longer are we going to be fluffy in the body of Christ. Well, Ernestine, what does fluffy mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means. Fluffy is that, you know, you got all the best tools because the armory got you right, okay? This church give you study materials, okay? And then you get offerings of how to study the word in a group, all different types of ways. Then when you want to go deeper, they got classes that you can come to and go as deep as you want to be, to where you can be a minister, you can be a deacon, or you can just be a straight up servant of God that just is equipped. Equipped. But when we leave God out of our plans, we are still scattered, just like all the other folks. Anxiety is at a new all-time high. Depression like never before. Suicide like never before. Addiction like never before. Relationships torn up like never before. People coming and saying, I don't know who I am. The devil is a lie. But you know why they can keep saying that? Because those of us that have an identity, we're not telling people who we are. And if I had to summarize this whole thing, intentional hearing is really the foundation of good communication. Because the two pieces are listening and hearing. And then we talked about posture and position. When we are communicating who we are, people notice. Now, many of you have had all different types of levels of training, so I know you've heard this before. Of 100% of communication, what percent of it is spoken? Some people would say 50-50. Some might say 60-40. But communication is 90% body language and 10% of what you said. So when we are passing out groceries on third Saturday and you put the groceries in the car that is little raggedy, the muffler's kind of burning up, and you just kind of, nothing of what you said equated to how you acted, what your body said. You scared of them. It said so much more than your words. And they hear that louder than they do the words when you finish and say, God bless you. You know, we have a Bible study at 8:30 in the morning and we have men's. They didn't hear any of that because what you said with your body was speaking louder. And that is, again, what we're talking about when hearing. It's the action that we put with it. The Word of God says one can bring down 1,000. Two can bring down 10,000. Where they at, y'all? Where they at? Where your 1,000? See, because in the street, if you were given a quota, you had to bring that quota. When I used to sell suits and stuff like that so I could shop more, we had a quota of what we're supposed to sell. If you have sold cars, you got a quota. Oh, let's not talk about Mary Kay. I done sold some Mary Kay. Come on now. Mary Kay and all them other stuff like that. If you got to reach this goal, or you're not a part. Do you hear me now? Do you hear me now? Do you hear me now? We've got some work to do because we have got to bring down the walls so that God's people that are out there can come in. I need you to get yours because I'm really trying to get mine. Okay? And you don't have to be a public speaker. You've got to be you. Like God created you. You got to talk to yourself. And I like the moles on my face. I like the fact that I'm loud. I like the fact that I am just so artistic. I like the fact that I can color outside the lines. I like that I can cook. I like that I can clean. I like that I like to drive. I like me. I like me because God made me. He wove me in my mother's womb. He knew what he was doing, and I believe it. We got to leave here today knowing that. I love me. How are you going to love me, Ernestine? Because she's hard to love. And here you are. You can't love you. Yeah. And many of you that have been with me for a long time, you know, I came from a family of secrets. Okay? I was a secret. Okay? I was a secret. Yeah. You know what? If I hadn't been a secret chef, you wouldn't have seen me today. I wouldn't have made it here. And I had to get up, stop being hung up on that. Because some of us hung up about how we got here. And you're not grateful about being here. Okay? You got to stop getting hung up on how you got here, and you got to be grateful that you're here. Okay? You may not have your pinky toe right now because of, but thank God and look down at them four toes there and say, keep me balanced. We so hung up on what it looked like that we cannot communicate. We can't hear what God wants us to do because we so hung up on what it looked like. And we scheme and we put our credit cards on the table and we look at our this and that to get what we want, and we don't get what we need. And you know what that does? It brings on shame and it brings on guilt, and you can't let your light shine because you got a film over it that is all about what it looked like. If I had not been taken down that little dirt road and given to my grandmother, I don't know where I would be. Okay? My grandmother didn't own a lot of books. She would have been considered a high school graduate in today's time because they let her go to school fifth grade, okay? And she didn't have a lot of books. So we read The Big Old Thick. I learned all my geographic stuff from The Big Thick phone book. because you could open up and there was a map in it. And that's how I learned all the states and the capitals. And she had the Bible, the Word of God, and somebody had gave it to her, and all the pages in it were glossy, was what God said. And I had to read it. That's how I was allowed to read, okay? And then if you wanted to deal with Amy's children, the two of them got together, and they decided if Amy's kids was going to be dealing with you. See, so many people dealing with your kids, and you ain't dealing with your kids. Because I was a secret, my mother had to make sure that I was always safe. Okay? And we don't keep our children safe enough. Just because they big don't mean they grown. And you think about Job's kids. Job's kids were still hanging around the house. There was still some growing up and some nurturing and some growth that has to happen to our young adults. Don't just move them to the other category because they turned 18. Right. You didn't know nothing at 18, and they don't either. And just because these babies and these young men and women come up here and get baptized don't mean they've made it. It means that they're on their way. And they must be given opportunities to listen and hear the word of God. And you are speaking the loudest in their lives by what you posture yourself and what you say to them. You stepping all up in somebody's face and speaking all authoritative and da-da-da-da-da, and you don't even know that person's last name. But when something happened to you, you want God to come soft. Speak, you want an angel to appear. You want five signs that God told you to do, that you need to do it. And you want it to be gentle. But then you want somebody else to get right. You're like, You didn't listen with the gentle. How you think they gonna listen with the gentle, with the hard? Because again, there's so much about the Word of God that helps you navigate this. What's going on in the world today? The Word of God said that the rain will come on the just and the unjust. You're supposed to get wet right now. If the hurricane comes, it's not going to pass your house just because you. It's going to come through everybody. But it has a mission, because it wouldn't happen if God wouldn't allow it. Nothing in your life that is a test or is a situation right now, God is not testing you. And stop saying that. And it ain't the devil either. Most of the time it's you. Because it's showing up me. It's showing up me. And then you have to go back to humility and say, God, why I keep coming back to this spot? Because he said, because you hard-headed, Ernestine, and you just won't allow yourself to just let it be that simple, to just let it go. There's so many things that can just be let go and let God fight the battle. The battle is not yours. Now, we all be laid out here if the choir was up here singing this. But then when we hear it, when we're listening, then we got to hear it. It's not mine. It's not mine. That's what Carson was telling me. No, it ain't yours. We're good. Okay? I'll let you know if it changed. All right? And this position here, it's the hardest. It's the hardest to take your hands off your life. It's the hardest to just say, oh, that hurt me. Oh, they don't know me that well. They don't like me. I don't have no friends. I go to church and they do this and that, and I'll never get invited to nothing. And nah. You don't stay. And if you don't want to stay, be okay with the fact that you didn't get invited to nothing extra. You can't be in the house and get all the goods, but be out the house, outside the house, and want them to deliver it to you. Come on now. Come on. It's one way or the other. You can't be in the house and get all of God's rich greatness that he has for you and stand outside and say, would you please deliver it over here? Let us enter into the gates with thanksgiving. And do what? Coming into his courts for praise. What does that mean? Action. You got to take that invitation and come on in. Yeah. And be okay with yourself when, you know, it's still uncomfortable to stay as long as you can. Mm-hmm. But don't not come. You know, I was thinking of the woman that Elijah ran into, and he told her to go in the house and make him a cake and bring it to him. And she said, my plan was to make this cake, and me and my boy were going to die. She was speaking her situation versus seeing and listening to what God said. So he told her again, and she heard. And by hearing, what did she do? She went and she made that cake, brought it to the prophet, and then nobody died. Everybody lived. So what I'm saying to you today is that we have to make sure we know who we are. And so I'm going to go back to the scripture as we wind this down. Verse 23 says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Mirror. There are so many times, because we have God's word in us, we've heard what he said, and we didn't do it, that we can't look in the mirror at ourselves. We can't face ourselves because we know what we heard. And just like you, I've been interchanging that because, see, listening come before hearing. We listen to the word of God, and we are hearers of the word of God, but hearing comes with doing. You're a doer of the word. And when you're not a doer, you can't look yourself in the mirror. And before you know it, you back up, and you back up, and you back up, and you back up, and then something happened. And you got to get a case of the get right, because you got to get right, get yourself built back up, get yourself back in full focus. Remind yourself of God's word who you are, and by that time, you're on your back. We are not going to be folks that can't see ourselves in the mirror. We're going to have the confidence of the Lord God. We're going to take his truth in our lives. We're going to read his word. We're going to listen to his word, and we're going to be doers of his word. Amen. So that I can look myself in the mirror. And you know, men, y'all look yourselves in the mirror, too. Amen. Start with y'all. Start with the men. You want to see, do you have a razor bump? And in your 30s, 40s, you want to see if there's anything up there. And if it's starting to go away, you're figuring out how to comb it to where it still is there, men. Mm-hmm. By about 50, you decide to accept it. Some of them hadn't. Stevie Wonder hadn't. He just keep the low ponytail just further back. And then there are men that says, listen, I got too much to live for. And guess what? I'm just saving myself $20 every 2 weeks. Let me go on and just take it on off. And that's God's child that can look himself in the mirror. I may not be a natural father, But I have come into this world and I can be father-like to so many other children. That's God's assignment for me. I work with kids because God knew I needed the time and I wouldn't be putting my kids aside to work with somebody else's kids. You have to accept your position. And women, you know, we in the mirror. And I got this magnifying side so I can take away the little sparkles in my eyebrows because I don't want to sparkle yet. I'm getting there, but I ain't ready to sparkle. Okay, I'm going to go and tell you the rest of it, okay, brother, because he's laughing at me already. My hometown, my long-standing hairstylist is Irma Stevens. She took care of me and my kids forever until she got ready to retire. Until she moved to Crestview and her husband retired. But I still consultate with her about anything I'm doing with my hair, anything, because I trust her. So I told her, she told me the last time she did my hair and I had a relaxer. She's Ernestine, you're going to have to make a choice one day. She said, you're going to have to give up the relaxer or you're going to have to give up this color. And I turned around and I said, Irma, it's going to be a long time before I give up this color. So we've been proceeding on. So about 2 years ago, I went to her to check my locks and see if I was on the right track. And she said, you know, you really probably need to go and consider just letting it go in, come in. And I said, come on, go to the bathroom with me. Now, we had a function. We had a delta function. We're in the bathroom at the ball. Okay, and I lifted up and I said, and I told her, I said, I gray ugly. And I'm just not ready for graying ugly. She said, it can't be that bad. So we go into the bathroom and she said, oh, you gray ugly. You just keep on, you keep on doing what you're doing. Hold on to it for a little longer. But I accept myself. And Carswell can increase my donation to the family pot, but I'm still gonna find some money. I'm gonna hold on to all my gift cards, all I got to do for my birthday, whatever, because I'm gonna get it. Accept who you are. Accept it. So that doesn't hold you back from living out loud the word of God. Being a doer of the word of God. Amen. Let me show y'all something. I have a practice. And this book is called God's Creative Word Power. Okay? Y'all see the condition of this book? Okay? You see this? That's because I read it. It's in my purse. Everywhere I go, I have it. And it speaks. It tells us that God's word is the reason we suffer is because we do not speak God's word over our lives. And it tells us that we are not transformed. We don't get to where we're supposed to go because we don't speak God's word over our own lives. And it says in this little book, it says that it will change how you receive life. And the author says, as I was teaching from this text of Mark 11:23, to me, I have told my people they can have anything what they say, and they are saying what they have. So how are we going to get to the lost? How are we going to get to the homeless? How are we going to keep providing food? How are we going to get those people that are over there thinking that if they get one more little injection, one more this or that, they're going to be perfect enough to come to God? If we over here still talking about what we have, yeah. I got problems. I ain't got no money. I ain't got this. And you do have money. And you do have those things, but you're not grateful over it, so you're not speaking any gratitude over it, so it's not multiplying. Yeah. Intentional hearing. Do you hear me now? Is what James is saying to us. And as we begin to close out, I would like
us to stand where you are, because I have some appeals.